This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And I'll start by correcting that temperature. I knew that didn't sound right. 55 degrees is where we are right now. State Senator Dallas Hurd in studio after what was probably a busy 24-hour period for you, being involved as one of the speakers in the Timber Unity Rally yesterday.
Yeah, it was. yesterday was a day to remember, Kyle. The whole week for me and my staff and the whole caucus and the Senate Republican caucus, for that matter, was one we'll never forget. But yesterday's rally, that was incredible. I mean, I wanted to be there so bad last year when we were out of the state fleeing from the tyranny of Portland, but couldn't be for obvious reasons. And so it was just such an honor to be there yesterday and to watch those folks. I mean, for everybody listening out there, I saw volunteer people showing up at the Capitol building at 5 a.m. yesterday morning, who came from, in some cases, multiple hours away from that Capitol city. So, you know, it was just incredible. One of my Democratic Senate colleagues, a very good man by the name of Rob Wagner from Lake Oswego, grabbed me as he was coming into committee, and he had just drove down from Portland that morning, and he said, "Man, I am just blown away by your people out there. They stayed in the right lane in this huge world record setting truck convoy," his words, "all the way down from Portland to Salem from where he was coming from, with their flasher lights on, going 35 to 40, letting everybody through. They're outside now." When him and I were talking, it was now 9:30, and so the thing was in full, you know, operation. He's like, "They're out there still around the Capitol block, letting people go through, not taking up all the lanes. They're keeping the place neat and orderly. They're extremely well behaved and nice inside the Capitol building. They're not being in any way aggressive or anything." And he was just so amazed by him. And you know, hats off to him for acknowledging that. That just kind of speaks to who he is. And it speaks to who our people are that were up there. You know, I want to thank the Republican Central Committee of Douglas County for showing up and putting up a booth and feeding people hot dogs and drinks and, you know, participating up there. All the, you know, the folks like the Whitaker family, obviously, the Ireland family. I mean, let's face it, like, you know, I saw just about everybody and anybody you can think of that are employers and people that work for those employers in this community up there yesterday. And it was just amazing. Anyway, so I got to speak at the end. I had that privilege and opportunity, and we really got to yelling and hollering, all of us did, and screamed at the Democrats, you know, "Hey, let the people decide," because it's no secret at this point. We've all been saying from our side of the aisle, just amend this bill and send it directly to the ballot in November. Let the people decide on this, you know, what I consider just to be an abomination of secrecy and a scam, and let the people decide. But because the Democrats know that the people won't vote this thing through, they are being exactly what they claim they aren't, which is elitists. There's no real other way to describe it, in my opinion. When you know the people aren't in majority approving of what you're trying to push through as a body of, you know, 18 or in the House 38 Democratic members of a legislative body, you're going against the will of the people. Where is the rationale? Where is the logic? Where is the excuses that make any kind of logical sense in a world of freedom to do things like that? So it's just been incredible. Senate Bill 1530, the cap and trade carbon tax, Section 32, for any of you folks that want to get on the state of Oregon's website and look this bill up, Section 32 exempts nearly half of the entire function of the bill from public access, folks. My staff and I sent in an email to what's called Legislative Council. They are the state paid attorneys that the Democrats hire and fire. The Republicans have no authority there, but they're supposed to serve the body equally. So they're the ones that wrote the bill. So we sent in a question that stated, we had multiple questions, but the main one I really wanted to get an answer back on, because my suspicion was confirmed, that it stated, will future legislators have access to the financial documents and functions of this multiple tens of billions of state taxpayer, state citizen assets that will be sold on this carbon credit market in the future, that has full access from huge corporations and stock speculators from outside of the state? Okay. The answer was no. Your future Senate and House members that represent you, the people, will not have access, except the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, both Democrats, and these Democrats think they will never be in the minority, or partial information supplied to a committee chair, which are all Democrats, or a vice chair, which mostly are Republicans, but for the chair or the vice chair, it must have a majority vote approval from the committee. Furthermore, I've told you folks before, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, under current House and Senate rules commanded by this majority from Portland, have full authority to take committee members of either party off of a committee at any given time. So if they see something starting to build up of some form of a rebellion, to actually look into this information by a committee chair or vice chair, and there is a majority of citizen legislators who will actually do their darn job in the future, the powers that be can actually shift those players off of that committee and just put a wet blank on it right there. How in the heck do we get to any kind of true research and critical analytics of billions of dollars of state assets when attorneys or your legislators or you, the people, or the journalists in the building I'm speaking in on the radio in right now have no legal right to look at any of this information? You can't connect enough dots to go to a judge and say, we need some sort of a court order or whatever it would be called. I think it's called discovery, to actually go in and get into the meat of this situation and see what's really happening behind the curtain. The Democrats have said, well, we send it out in aggregate form as these credits are being bought. Well, what that means is it's kind of like saying we're going to make sure Wall Street eliminates collusion and insider trading by taking the big board that shows who bought this much stock from Apple, sold this much stock from Caterpillar, and so on and so forth, that you would normally see, and we're going to take the names away. That's what aggregate form means. We will literally have no access to who was buying those. And then how do you connect the dots, which is what I truly believe the long-term plan is here, when, say, I'm not going to name a company because I don't want to be accusatory, or I don't want to accuse anybody here of something that hasn't happened. It's a suspicion of mine. But if a big company, a big Fortune 500 company, comes in and buys $1 billion of these stocks in the future, of these carbon credits, we won't know that they bought them. And then if they make a $5 million contribution, because there's no limitations on contributions in this state, to the Senate Democratic coffers for their political campaigns, we will have no way of connecting the dots on why somebody gave them so much money. I just don't understand, Republican or Democrat, for the environment. I mean, nobody's against the environment. So whether you're pro-carbon or you don't believe this carbon bill is the right thing, I just don't know how anybody can say to me that that's a good idea for free people to remain free people and not become just, I don't know, a bunch of subjects just being pushed around by the super rich and elite. I mean, it just seems so obvious where this is going. So we're going to continue to dive into this thing and get the answers back. But I'll tell you, one of the most damning convictions of this supermajority and what they're trying to do right now was the one answer we got back to one of our questions that said they didn't have enough time, the state attorneys who wrote this, to do the proper research within the short window of time available to them in this short session to give us solid legal answers to our questions of what this bill will do. I just don't know how any honest person can say that's a good way of doing things.
So are those concerns that you have been mentioning, are there people asking those questions as well, and what kind of answers are they getting?
I bring these up to every Democratic member that'll listen to me every time I have contact with them.
And what's their response?
Well, most of the time they give me this look like they don't know what I'm talking about, because most of them admit they haven't read the bill. I would say less than five of them have read more than five pages of that 156-plus page bill that also just had a 30-day amendment put out earlier this week that is written in such a way that it is extremely confusing and difficult to pour through and understand what it takes out, what it leaves in, what it shifts here and there in these bills. It becomes very complex by design. The majority does that in cases like this. So something that isn't just, it just blows my mind, Kyle, is that one of the functions of this bill was that the secondary market, so if you're a speculator, a stock trader who comes in, or you're a big California business that comes in and you buy up half the stock market of these carbon credits, there is no cap on what you can sell them for in what we would call the secondary market. There is no regulation currently that exists that's going to show that, no, you can't buy them for 22, starve the market, hold on for them for 2 years, make everybody desperate because you got billions of dollars and you can hold on to them knowing that you're going to get a massive investment on your return just for holding for a year or two by then coming back into the market and selling them at, say, $300 a share. Here's where it gets amazing, folks, and this is reality. This is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is what the bill states for those who want to do their due diligence. It does not charge capital gains tax from Oregon on any of those profits. Think about that. They are actually excluding their big business buddies from paying the only kind of tax they would pay on some form of a profit in a transaction like this. Capital gains is the wealthy's, that's the wealthy's tax. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, whoever goes out there who has billions of dollars constantly telling you and I they're such great people because they're fine with income taxes being raised, are just completely trying to fool us and make themselves sound like something they're not, because the dirty little secret is they don't really pay hardly any income taxes because of the way they run their businesses. That's smart tax planning, but it's very disingenuous pledges to the people of America. What they don't tell you is capital gains tax is the one that really gets them. That's the one that gets them when they sell their stocks. What makes a multi-billionaire who has a publicly traded company worth so much in an estimate sense is that they start out with, say, like Elon Musk, who owns, I think, around 50%. I think he owns 25% of Tesla. His stock represents a value because of the current market value it's being traded at, but it does not actually represent cash as long as he owns the stock. But when he sells the stock, whatever profits he generates, that's what you pay capital gains tax on. Capital gains tax in the state of Oregon is higher than the highest income tax bracket. So not only are they not paying their taxes, they're getting away with the biggest chunk possible that any of us would actually have to pay by the state's way of handling taxes. So it's the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer by the party that says they're the party of the working party. Where's the evidence?
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with State Senator Dallas Hurd when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. State Senator Dallas Hurd talking about yesterday's Timber Unity Rally and the big cap and trade issue. This is taking up, obviously, a lot of attention. And here we are at the end of the first week of a short session. You've already, the legislature has already used up a number of those 35 days. Mm-hmm. How do you get through everything else that's on people's plates?
Well, I think that's part of the strategy, Kyle, by the supermajority. I mean, you think about it. If most of your only goal in a situation like this is to, not mine, but theirs, clearly by their actions, is to maintain political power and control, you have an astonishing advantage over your minority opponents, your minority citizen legislators who represent the vast landmass majority of this state, but the population is a little bit smaller because of how condensed Portland is and whatnot. So what's amazing to me about this is that they can create any bills they want, and they have a leg up on us because they actually, as the chairs of every one of these committees, has the full authority to choose whether we hear a bill, whether it's voted on, and because they're the majority, whether they have the votes to pass it through or not. And so when you can do things like that from the just the most disgusting and look, come on, Republicans and Democrats both do this, but it disgusts me. I'm not going to share the blame with people that I think have massive holes in their character just because some Republican does this. but in this case, the Democrats are coming up with really hardcore anti-Second Amendment gun bills. They're coming up with the carbon tax. They're coming up with, what's another one? There's another piece of legislation that was just crazy. House Bill 4105. And the trade unions were the ones that brought this to my attention. It will ban across the entire state all new approvals by state agencies of any petroleum-related project, including natural gas projects, including new gas stations, including failing pipelines under the ground that need to be replaced because they'll consider it new infrastructure under the law and the way that they interpret this stuff. So when you look at all that, it keeps us running all over the place, even though we have minimal resources compared to the Democrats, far fewer people to actually focus our minds on what's happening, and zero control over the direction and the tempo the game is being played here. And the way they treat it, it's very much a game. It's not a game to me, but they're the ones that are doing things like this. And so I wish people would start paying attention to how their state government is being ran here, because when you look at it, it is clear that they are trying to force the minority members out of the building. They are trying to set the stage in such an aggressive, tyrannical direction that they leave us almost no choice but to essentially strike against them. And that's really what this is, folks. Think about it. Come on. People call this stuff walkouts. Some people try to relate it to a government shutdown, even though the government of Oregon never was shut down. That's just not the way to look at this. Let's think about what happens when our brothers and sisters in the private labor unions find themselves dealing with a business owner or a group of business owners that they're working for who don't compensate them well, who don't invest in strong safety standards, who don't invest in any kind of benefits that make it a living wage, that make it something that people can grow into, invest into, and stay successful in long term. Those unions eventually strike at some point. And for good cause a lot of times. Now, I'm not always the biggest fan of some of these strikes, especially the ones I see from the public labor unions. And I'm not bashful about that. But the private labor unions represent something very critical to elevating and maintaining the middle class here in America. And the principle is still the same in what we're dealing with here. It's like I've said before, this isn't a job. A job is something you do because it's going to make you money. It's what's going to provide food and a roof over your head of the family you have and whatnot. This job loses us all money. And I'm not whining about that. I'm just saying this is like going into the military. Now, I'll be the first to say, I don't equate myself to a single veteran out there, and I never will. But it's still the same kind of service where it's all about service, at least for me and my members of my caucus, because we go to Salem and get our teeth kicked in and watch our community and our constituents' rights just get shredded daily while we get treated like trash by the majority most of the time. And then we get told it's a job, like it's something, you know, like we have an obligation to go there and watch our communities lose, because that's really what it represents. My presence in the building at times when they're trying to pass this kind of hostile takeover of our lives type legislation is actually what gives them the authority and the ability to completely destroy my community and the vast majority of the people who I represent the opinions of from this region. So it makes no sense to say this is a job. It's a duty. And so this stuff is just getting really ugly really quick.
So with all of that out there, what about things that did get done this week?
Honestly, Kyle, the only thing I focused on was the carbon tax for the most part. I had a housing bill in the committee that I'm the vice chair on that came through. That was the only bill we were working yesterday. And for people that want to get online and do a little research, I think they'll find the video. It's going around on Facebook. Other people are posting it. But what happened was the one bill that I had, which was very much just a technical fix, which was focused on communities of faith, just having a more clarified bit of legislation to show that they do have the right, like it's traditionally been interpreted as by all these counties across the state, that if they want to create a living space inside their community of faith's main worship structure or just outside of it in a single standalone building, that they should have that right, and at the same time protect the rights of the farming community. Well, I get there with my chief of staff that morning, and the chair from Portland, she delays the committee. I think it was three times that morning. Finally shows up an hour and a half after when we would normally meet, which was 8 o'clock. But myself, my Republican colleague that's on the committee with me, and the two other Democrats that sit on it, we were all there before 8 o'clock. And then she shows up an hour and a half late from when we normally meet for a bill that it's the only bill we're working that day. She's not made any communication to me that she's not for the bill. It passed unanimously out of the Senate, her committee, last year, and it only died in the House because of the chaotic mess that happened at the end of the session last year. So that's the only reason it's back now. She shows up, She sits down. She says to the LPRO analyst, which is the state employee who helps manage the committee, that we're not going to work this bill today. Doesn't say it to me, and I don't know if she thought I could hear her or not. Then she tells me that it's time to go testify, and there's only like five people in the room that are going to testify on this thing for or against. So we're not under any kind of time constraints, even though she was late. Well, long story short, she asked me nicely at the moment, which was just crazy the way it all worked out later, that I could either testify in my committee seat or go down to the dais and sit there and testify with my chief of staff. I chose to do the latter. So I go down there, I get ready to introduce myself, not thinking there's any real major problems going on here other than the comment she made that she's not going to work it. And all of a sudden she interrupts me as I'm leaning into the microphone, and she starts to absolutely insult and criticize all of the good free people of Oregon who are outside that Capitol building protesting, saying that they're shutting down the Capitol, and she's apologizing to the 1,000 Friends of Oregon people that are there to trash this bill and make a bunch of ridiculous arguments that don't hold up in any critical analysis, as if only her and her Democratic liberal followers have the First Amendment right to protest. So that's where we're at in this state. I hope we'll change it this November.
State Senator Dallas Hurd, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.